is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that? Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We have sources on the ground in the wrestling world, Mass, in the form of Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, yeah, no. Jimmy's hardcore. So he's like that guy who reported the thing last week that you said's like, tap, Jimmy. You are him.
It's all I have.
Go ahead.
Point being that we're not just flying by the seat of our pants here.
No. Jimmy's he's into the wrestling world.
So
he's
what was
a Schefter
the latest
of wrestling.
Yeah, Jimmy, since you're here, would you just refresh? What was the thing that you sent us this morning, the latest tweet? It wasn't from Gronkowski, but it was from another wrestler about Gronkowski and
the,
crediting him with something.
The tweet was from Gronk promoting Mojo Rawley, who was the wrestler he did WrestleMania with and his really good friend. It was essentially a link to the Team Gronk website promoting something that he was doing.
Okay, so just further sort of this buildup, and again, we have no strict definition of what the hell he was doing over the weekend with the, I don't remember, seize your future, control your temptations.
The fortune cookie tweet.
Yeah, that's
your destiny.
Which you think
is
a wrestling promo.
I do think it's a wrestling promo. It sounds like something Mr. Fuji would say, yes. But then the thing yesterday where he says no limits is like, well, that's a direct reference to this wrestling event coming up.
Correct.
And then 12 days away.
Fastlane.
Exactly. So then there's this wrestling thing today, again, and this buildup towards the wrestling thing continues, Mass. Before I get to the good stuff, the current sound last night, just do you feel we're building critical mass here with something?
Yes, I think we're coming to some sort of decision with Gronk one way or the other. It certainly feels that way. And, I mean, again, I told you, I felt early on that Gronk, the whole retirement thing with Gronk was a leverage play, and that ultimately he was going to try to get more money out of the Patriots. The more I hear as we go deeper into this offseason, the more I start to wonder. And so, look, I still think that he's playing football. I think he's too good a football player to walk away at this stage of his career. But that said, it's hardly unprecedented. There are lots of guys who walk away at about this stage.
No doubt.
You get to your late 20s and you're like, eh.
Jim Brown, Barry Sanders.
Yeah, and even you could say Calvin Johnson, for crying out loud, Patrick Willis. Like, there are guys who just say, you know, I'm done. That's it. I'm out. I'm not going to give up the rest of my life for the NFL. And so this is the stage I'm checking out at. And maybe he's one of those guys. Like, again, I told you, I would not be shocked if it happens. I would be a little surprised. I still think right now, you know, if I had to guess, the whole thing is an angle, especially breaking when it did. But, you know, do I think it's real? Yeah, I have always felt that it was injury-based and real.
Big Jim Worry.
Oh, yeah, no, it gets more real by the day. And I'm now getting to the point where I'm almost convinced that he isn't going to come back and he is going to go and try to have a real career in the WWE. Look, he's a big enough name, and if it's to be believed that he's never spent his NFL salary, he's got a big enough nut. He is a big enough name. Roll those dice. If it's not in his heart anymore, and we've seen it before, hell, Ricky Williams, 14 years ago, walked
Ricky
away.
Williams, that's another one.
Walked away because of weed and yoga. And granted, he came back a couple of years later because he felt like he regretted it, but you've seen this before. Maybe Gronk's the next guy. And, you know, look, selfishly, the Patriots fan in me will be pissed, but he's got enough cachet to do it, so I'm not going to be shocked if he does.
Okay, and is there so much more to the story? And this is courtesy of Tom Curran last night on NBC Sports Boston with just a terrific bit of insight here. I mean, really outstanding last night from Curran. And so this is what he said about the whole situation. Go ahead.
It does defy explanation to a degree until you start kicking over some rocks and talking to some people and trying to get, you know, your fingers on the pulse of it. And I've done that quite a bit. And he didn't enjoy himself in 2017. He did not have a good time, despite the fact his body was in a better situation than it's been in a long time, ever maybe, despite the fact that he is one of the most dominant players at any skill position. Starting to wear on him. Physically, mentally, the atmosphere here in New England.
Just to clarify really quick, so when you say in 2017, so a lot of people look at that, the concussion that he suffered in the AFC Championship and said maybe that's what scared him. Was this going on before that?
Yes.
Okay.
This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it. At that point, his body wasn't responding. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't necessarily want him to train the way he wanted to train. They were at loggerheads, and he was, you know, he was pissed. And the season played out, and by the end of it, I don't think that some of the principal players on this team were really happy with the atmosphere and the climate all the stuff that we've reported about, all the stuff we've talked about, they still need to have a hell of an air clearing at Patriot Place to get these guys back.
There is just so much there.
I mean, the line that caught my attention in the middle of it is the team didn't want him to train the way that he wanted to train.
There is so much there. A lot of meat on that bone, to the point where, Tommy, I want to thank you. You gave us a show, mostly. Jimmy, can you play the end of it? And you just pick it up wherever. But
at Patriot Place to get these guys back. He kind of had it. At that point, his body wasn't responding. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't necessarily want him to train the way he wanted to train. They were at loggerheads. And he was, he was pissed. And the season played out. And by the end of it, I don't think that some of the principal players on this team were really happy with the atmosphere and the climate. All the stuff that we've reported about, all the stuff we've talked about, they still need to have a hell of an air clearing at Patriot Place to get these guys back.
Okay, so this is a story that's beyond Rob Gronkowski. That's the piece at the end, Maz. Principal players not happy with the atmosphere and the climate.
I'm not surprised at all about that. Again, I think we started talking in the wake of the Butler thing. Look at the guys who lined up to support Malcolm Butler after he didn't play in the Super Bowl. From Brady himself to Dante Hightower, Gronkowski. Like, these are the key guys on the team. And we said it at the time. That Belichick, it felt like, had some fences to mend. He had some holes to repair. And I think he still does. I don't think you get to the Super Bowl, sit one of your better defensive players, lose the game, giving up 40-plus points, and not have to answer to your players about a decision you made. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
I'm sorry, that's not what Tommy's referring to, though. I don't think.
But I'm telling you that.
The principal players are not happy with the atmosphere and the climate. You're talking about a coaching decision in the last game of the year. Principal players, Brady, who we know about, Gronkowski. Okay, only your two most important players. Not happy with the atmosphere and the climate. Who is Rob Gronkowski trained by this year?
Guerrero.
He went to Guerrero.
Sure,
with Tom. Who did Bill kick off the team?
Guerrero.
Who did Bill let onto the team in a little office just to treat Tom?
Guerrero.
But it's Gronkowski's guy too. What, Rob can't go see him? Beetle raised this earlier on the midday. Excellent point. And Gronkowski, oh, by the way, he had all those incentives this year tied to games played. So his health financially was never more important than this year. And Bill kicks his guy off the team and then allows Tom to go see him, but presumably nobody else? So, like, that's the story. I don't think this has anything to do with Butler. I don't. I mean, here's what Butler is, Maz. Butler is the 4th-and-2 moment that allows the guys who are upset, it gives them a little leverage point.
Okay, so to me, that was a trigger, is how I would put it. Like, I look at it was apparent once that happened that Belichick had problems with guys on the team.
Right, but for things that went beyond and predated Butler. Just like 4th-and-2 in 09 opened up the floodgates for Adalys Thomas to say, go ask Bill, he has all the answers, right? That's when it all came out. Chris Gasper's great line, winning is a great deodorant. So they win, the stuff doesn't come out, but you lose? Now all of a sudden, you start to see it. And that's what I think the Butler decision is. I don't think that Tommy Curran, I could be wrong, but I don't think Tommy Curran is talking about the Butler decision. I don't think that they're players who are unhappy with atmosphere and climate because of the Butler decision, but the Butler decision allows them to go, I guess Bill doesn't have all the answers. And so that's what I think you're getting. And I think it is tied to Guerrero. I think it is tied to Bill's treatment of Guerrero.
Well, then it comes back to Brady.
And it comes back to Brady, and it comes back to that whole thing. And I think that there's also a thing there between Gronk and Brady. When I say that, I don't mean like Gronk and Brady hate each other, da-da-da, but it's just sort of like, would it be surprising to you if the Gronkowski family whispered in Rob's ear, wait, so how come he gets Guerrero but you don't? And why is Bill kicking him off the team anyway? And, well, they're giving Tom all these extensions, but where's your, you don't think that stuff goes on?
Oh, it definitely goes on. I mean, and I think I think you're onto something. I mean, look, again, I hear stuff like everyone else does. And why does Brady get a TB12 down there and no one else does?
Right. And one of the things you may have heard is that Gronkowski wanted to start his own thing, and he doesn't get it. Tom gets his thing, and Gronk doesn't get it. You know, the super special treatment down there begins and ends with 12.
And see, keep going.
And Gronkowski and his family looks at it and goes, well, wait a minute. Where's ours?
Look how important you are to this team. You should be getting preferential treatment, too.
So, again, that is nothing between Brady and Gronkowski. It's just the business of it and the people that whisper in their ears and the sort of treatment, you know, everyone gets. I think Brady's grown a little more entitled as he's been given everything at the end of his career. And I think Gronkowski's family, for sure, has always been mindful of this sort of stuff. And never mind last year, Gronkowski starts going to Guerrero. Bill has the thing with Guerrero, so that affects Gronkowski, and then they sort of bring Guerrero back just for Brady. I have to catch up on that. What was the latest reporting? That they allowed Guerrero a little office off the locker room at Gillette where he could only see Brady? Was that what
that he was still allowed a space at the stadium, but only Brady, for only to treat Brady.
But not Gronkowski or not the other...
No one else.
The other 30 guys who were going...
No, other guys could still see him, but it had to be out of the stadium.
So they had to schlep to the other end of Patriot
Place. Yeah, see, like, to me, this ultimately what this becomes, and you know, is a Brady problem. I look at it as a Brady problem. If you're going to empower the... And you can understand why Belichick would get pissed about this. Once the owners start backing up the quarterback, what is the... Now everyone else is pissed off. Now where do you go? You look at the call. How come he gets it? How come I don't? And the coach didn't want to do it that way. The coach wanted to keep it a certain way. Now, look, the quarterback is different, but you can totally see where Belichick would get pissed at this.
No question. Oh, I think you nailed that for sure. This is why Bill doesn't like player, you know, inmates running the asylum. That line that got, you know, who was that who got in trouble for that line? But you know that sort of rationale. He doesn't want the players having too much say.
Jerry Richardson, I think it was.
Yeah. Was it? Whatever.
One of the owners.
That a-hole. But, you know, it's Bill's philosophy, not using that language, but no. You know, it's the culture is not of one player's calling their shots. It's of us dictating what the rules are, and they fall in line with it. That's the culture that we want. And I think Gronkowski's fought him on that for a long time, and Gronkowski's made inroads. I mean, they treat Gronkowski differently on the injury thing than they do any other player. We've already seen that. And now they give Brady a special consideration on the trainer, or they didn't, or they tried not to, and then he pitched a fit, and now it's like you have a thing. Like, I think they're still dealing with this thing down there. And it ties into the Gronkowski retirement. And is it pending or not? This is where we're starting. Your thoughts, 617-779-0985. Couple of lines if you want to grab them.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mez.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5. The Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it. At that point, his body wasn't responding. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't necessarily want him to train the way he wanted to train. They were at loggerheads. And he was, you know, he was pissed, and the season played out, and by the end of it, I don't think that some of the principal players on this team were really happy with the atmosphere and the climate. All the stuff that we've reported about, all the stuff we've talked about, they still need to have a hell of an air clearing at Patriot Place to get these guys back.
This is where the Butler thing does tie in. It does, you know.
It gave him a vehicle.
Well, it definitely does that. You know, again, if winning's a great deodorant, when you don't win, it stinks. But now you sort of also have to add on to the list this air clearing of, Bill, what were you doing there in the Super Bowl? Like, that's going to be on the list. But the real core of it is Bill's style. And either Bill's style going too far or some of the players getting a little too big for their britches.
See, I think it's more the second thing, because I think Bill's style's always been the same.
Me too. And you know what? I side with Bill on most of it. I side with Bill on the Guerrero thing. I think Belichick's right about the Guerrero thing. I do. You can't have outside people giving medical advice that contradicts your team. That's a recipe for chaos. You can't have it.
I mean, to me, it comes back to the quarterback, you know, because Guerrero's the quarterback's guy. To me, it's all about that. Once the quarterback started to get more power than the coach, at least that's how Belichick sort of interprets it. And whether it's true or not, that's how Belichick sees it. And so once the quarterback starts to get more power than the coach, now you're going to have, you know, I mean, I'm using extreme terms, anarchy. You're going to have a question there as to, oh, he can do that? The coach, what, again, this is the undermining of the coach. It gets perceived by the other players, and now all of a sudden, I want this, I want that, I want this. What are you going to do? I've already won. I'm out. Like, and Gronk's got that power.
So if principal players are not happy with the atmosphere and the climate, you know, what does that say? Do you have an issue there? And maybe, again, I'm going to keep going back to Butler, Mass, because I don't think that's what Tom was referring to last night. But let's say a guy like Devin McCourty, or, I don't know, one of those defensive players who isn't a Guerrero guy. I'm not sure if McCourty is or not. But, I mean, let's just say, and, you know, McCourty's been paid, and he plays, and let's just say he's not a Guerrero guy. So that's not really McCourty's issue. But Butler's one of his guys in the meeting room, and he's one of the guys he's played with for 3 years, and McCourty knows who's best served to be out there and who's not. So McCourty, now that's on his list.
Right, exactly. It opens the door for other players to start questioning Bill. It spreads. This is what happens, is if the coach is perceived to have some shortage of power, it spreads. This is why Belichick gets pissed about owner intervention, because he knows what it results in. He knows. I can't help but bring it back to Brady, because I think that this is what it was. If you go back to the Wickersham story, there was a power tussle there between Brady and Belichick, and the Kraft sided with the quarterback. And so what's that going to do to the coach? It's going to piss him off to no end. So now look, let's see what happens with Gronk, because he's at the center of this thing now. So Gronk is a story. But if Gronk walks, Brady's going to be pissed too.
617-779-0985. Let's lead it off with Dave in Vermont on Gronkowski. Hi, Dave.
Hi. If you put on the menu on your remote, it says for tonight's SmackDown, it says, Superstars get ready for Fastlane, unveiling a huge surprise.
Okay, I got my remote here. This doesn't reach, does it, Murray?
Probably not.
I can't do it?
Well, Jimmy would have the scoop on this. Is Gronk going to appear somewhere tonight for a WWE event?
I think the surprise they're referencing is John Cena switching from Raw to SmackDown. But for the sake of the talk show, yeah, I kind of expect Gronkowski to be on SmackDown tonight. So they're in Los Angeles. Why the hell not?
So my remote doesn't reach. But I'll look it up for you.
Here, let me give you mine.
Gronk is clearly ramping up to do some wrestling. The thing yesterday with the No Limits was a clear reference to this Furcacta event. Sorry, Jimmy. That's okay. Coming up. Go ahead.
It's okay. Fastlane in 12 days. It's in Columbus, Ohio. It's the last big show before WrestleMania, which is in New Orleans in April. So I reached out to some people.
Okay, good.
And threw some hypotheticals out there. And Gronk could sign a 6-week contract and make about $2 million.
He could make $2 million just doing a few things leading up to WrestleMania, doing WrestleMania, and that's it.
And selling merchandise, yes.
$2 million for 6 weeks. You're telling me there's not a future for this guy off the field?
Oh, no. There's definitely a future for him off the field. There's no question about
it. And there were a
few
people that I exchanged messages with who think that Gronk actually has a deal with the company. Now, they didn't say for sure, but they wouldn't be shocked if he did have one.
I mean, look, I know we're sort of, you know, a little scattered on this.
Nice job, Stu.
But let's say Gronk does want to go ahead and do this. Could the Patriots terminate his contract?
I think so.
WrestleMania last year.
I know, but did he get team permission? Or
I don't know. So I
don't think he did last year.
You don't think so, Jimmy?
I don't think so. I think he happened to be in Orlando. They said, would you do this shot and help your friend out? He said yes, and then they made sure they compensated him.
Better to seek forgiveness than ask for permission.
And what are they going to do, cut him?
Right.
I mean, because he knows. He knows his talent. He's got him, and the quarterback wants him, so there's leverage there, too.
I can't believe that wrestling would be allowed in his contract. But then again, Brady's out there skiing, which I think is so dumb on Tom's part. He must be allowed to do that, or I don't know, maybe not.
I think the part where last year was safe for Rob Gronkowski was the fact that he didn't actually take a bump. He didn't actually take physical punishment. He delivered the move to somebody else. He didn't take the move.
Are you being serious?
Yes.
It's also fake.
Wait a minute.
Well, if Adam, our producer at Comcast, or NBC Sports Boston, that's such a pain, wants to show the footage.
Oh, the footage
is
so good.
It's Jinder Mahal who takes the bump. Rob Gronkowski doesn't throw himself to the ground, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Okay, but I can't believe that that's spelled out in his contract. The question about is he allowed to do it or not is huge. I can't believe that without consent of the Patriots, without prior written consent to the Patriots, that he would be allowed to sign an off-season deal with WWE for $2 million to promote, market, and appear in wrestling events. I can't believe
there's a history of other active NFL players doing this. Steve McMichaels did it. Kevin Green did it.
Patriots.
There's a whole slew of them.
Yeah, Patriots.
They were all sort of wild card, renegade. I mean, all those guys you mentioned, I don't know who the full list is. I don't know. Right, Patriots. Patriots. Can we not run the video anymore? Because now we're showing still shots, which would be disappointing.
So the thing with Gronk that is clear, right? Whether it's the show on Nickelodeon, Crash Leets, the one that he does there, whether it's the WWE, Gronk's got a life outside of football, right? That's the part that's clear. And he has interests outside of football. So if the Patriots are, you know, putting some sort of demands or requests of him that require him to give up his life outside the game, I don't think he'll go for that.
Okay, but again, if I'm the team, no, you are not allowed to sign off-season deals with a competing, in quote marks, sports league and appear in their sports league. You're not allowed to do that.
Okay, so listen, I can't imagine the Patriots would ever sign off on it.
Oh, by the way, one that comes with an injury risk.
So, but if you are Gronk and you're serious about walking away from the game and they say no, and Gronk says, cut me then. Go ahead, cut me. I'm good. I got two rings. I've made $40 million in, you know, salary in my career. I'm good. Cut my ass. Go ahead.
Wow. That would... That's,
I mean, I don't know if it's come to that.
But
like,
that's a fabulous point where he's like, fine, cut me. I'll be a free agent. No problem. So God, does he have the team by the short ones? Steve in the car. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. After hearing Tommy Curran say that he's been thinking about this since training camp, I think it's pretty clear that Gronk was planning on retiring after this season if they won the Super Bowl. Now that they lost, he has a big decision to make, and I think he's confused of what to do.
I got to tell you, Steve, and I hear people say this all the time as it relates to Brady and Belichick, I think them winning or losing the Super Bowl has nothing to do with it. Nothing. I think it's based on life decisions, money decisions, lifestyle, all these things. If Brady wins, he's going to walk off into the sunset. No. Nope. He's set an age in his mind for himself and his business that he's going to play to, whether he win, lose, or draw. Bill, same way. He may walk because the owner took away power from him, but ain't because he won or lost a game. And Gronkowski, these items are, no, I don't think it's anything to do with winning or losing the game. That's all. I hear people say it all the time, and I just don't think that's the case. John Elway was retiring whether he won or lost that game. He just happened to win it. And that's the way it is for most of these guys, the vast majority. We pick this up on the other side after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupon.
And Mass.
Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Jim, I can either read your email after you've been caffeinated in the morning, or you can deliver it live on the air. What do you prefer?
It's completely up to you, actually. I know I was pretty hot in that email this morning because I was pissed off about it. And, well, fine, I'll just say it. There was a report that came out on Sports Illustrated today that the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, called the 31 other teams in the NFL over the weekend about trading Marcus Peters. He obviously ended up with the LA Rams. But 31 other teams, that includes the Patriots. They need quarterback help. They're going to get rid of Malcolm Butler this offseason. They passed. The deal for him ended up being a second-round pick this year and a fourth-rounder in 2019. You passed on Marcus Peters, who in my mind is one of the top five cornerbacks. Actually, I think the second-best cornerback in the NFL. Bit of a down year for him. He has no arrest record. I understand he's a bit of a hothead and a malcontent, but you passed?
He has no arrest record.
He doesn't have an arrest record.
All he did was choke a coach and act sort of goofy and...
He was a complete a-hole in college. Choked out his coach when he was at Washington, and then the coach actually backed off that. So whether or not that actually happened is up for debate, but it did. But in the NFL, like, he had a bad year last year. Like, one of the real sticking points that everything that I read about him, and one of the reasons they wanted to move on from him in Kansas City, is that it had to do with the kneeling during the anthem. You know, they're in the heartland. That's a obviously very red part of the country. I think they were over it. The Hunts were over that. You know, the people that own the Chiefs.
One of the reasons they dealt him is because he knelt?
Yeah.
How stupid is that? What are we doing here? Saving the world or winning football games?
Throws the flag and the loss to the Jets.
Right, and walked off the field.
Off the field. You know,
that was bad.
Yeah, he's trouble. But I thought here for the last near 20 years under Belichick that this was one of the outposts for malcontents.
Now, as you say that, my mind is now just spinning as well.
What did Curran say? Principal players not happy with the atmosphere and the climate. Don't you think the team told the players to stand up and shut up after that? Remember?
Yeah.
You totally forget about the whole kneeling thing. Again, it's just so many things have usurped that in terms of our interest. But there was a time there when that first game with the kneeling stuff, half the team was down, half the team wasn't. It was clear Belichick didn't know what the heck was going on. And it felt like that week they had to come to Jesus where everyone, shut up and keep your feet. I don't want to hear about this. And the next thing you know, everyone's on their feet. And did that add to the climate that Curran was talking about? Not happy with the atmosphere and climate in the room. Anyway, but this is about Marcus Peters. Go.
All right. So, again, I thought this was one of the outposts for malcontents. Bill has been able to reform the likes of Randy Moss and Corey Dillon in the past. So why not take a flyer on one of the guys who's one of the top cornerbacks in the league, especially when he went for that cheap?
Again, it was a second and a fourth, you said?
A second round this year and a fourth rounder in 2019. Yeah. For Marcus Peters.
What's his contract situation?
So I was just looking that up.
He's a free agent after this year, right?
Well, no, they have the fifth-year option available on him.
So 2 years.
It's almost identical to Brandon Cooks a year ago. So think of it that way.
He's in the Cook spot from last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes nothing this year, and he'll make like 8 or 9 next year probably.
Right. 1.7 is his 2018 number.
Now, I can understand that a Bobo out there could argue this and say, well, of course they're not going to take Marcus Peters. He's troubling. They're not going to bring in a player like that after Aaron Hernandez. They'll never do that again. Oh, however, they brought in that legendary drunk Michael Floyd at the end of the 2016 season, so they obviously had no problem with a guy with a record like that, and they also brought in Kenny Britt in his lengthy police record just this last season. James Harrison as well, so don't tell me that they're going to shy away from a guy with a bad track record and even a police record. It blows my mind that they walked away from Marcus Peters when they actually got called about him. Are you kidding me? When they need help at cornerback, and he went for that cheap, that it drove me nuts to hear that Andy Reid, it's actually more appropriate, Andy Reid made the phone call. The Patriots are one of the teams, and they passed.
I mean, if you think of it in the terms he's talking about, same contractual status as Cooks a year ago. They gave up a first for Cooks. This guy was a second and a fourth.
That's right? Nothing.
No, in fact, you could argue this guy's a better player at his position than Brandon Cooks is.
He was the defensive rookie of the year just a few years ago. He's one of the better shutdown corners in the NFL. Second and a fourth, so, and you passed?
To me, there's only one reason for them to not do it. They don't have the draft picks. They've drafted so...
No, they have 2 seconds.
Well, no, but my point is, they've drafted so poorly, and they've got nothing between, what, the third and the sixth?
They definitely need to make picks. There's no doubt about it.
So,
but if you had
so traded, what do you do, trade it with one of the seconds and a third, too?
If you had a second and a fourth. If you had traded one of your seconds, and you spin it, we traded Garoppolo for the Strangler. We traded Garoppolo for Marcus Peters. Do you think that's a better sell?
An easier pill to swallow, at least for me.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Except I think they've done they've had a little rut here in the middle, and right now they don't have a fourth.
So writes Jim again this morning after his morning cup of coffee. So which is it, Bill? In a league where talent often trumps trouble, you're going to pass on a legit press corner, all caps, which you obviously effing need after the results of 4 weeks ago because he's immature and a hothead? Nice job. Go bring in another yes sir, no sir, Eric Lee and Jordan Richards, who'll do your bidding and never get the F off the field on third down, a-hole.
No, this is what, when I'm with Gasper on Saturdays, he talks about this all the time.
You come in so hot in the morning, it's great.
These kind of guys, they're always on this roster, but how many of them can actually help? How many of them helped you in Super Bowl 52? None of them, basically. So what? They're the consummate professional. Yes, sir. No, sir. Bill, whatever you need. You need talent. You need it.
Okay. In a related story, according to New York Newsday, the Jets are in on Malcolm Butler.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking to signing Butler. With everything, it's all about the price, but the Jets, I think, have a lot of money and have needs across that team, and they're looking at Malcolm Butler, to which I say, I don't care. Like, the thing that Bill got right about Malcolm Butler is that he wasn't worth the contract. Like, lost in all this, that horrible decision in the Super Bowl by Belichick, is the bigger picture story that he got Malcolm Butler right. He didn't give in to Butler. He didn't pay him. He didn't give him a contract. And over time, it looked like Butler wasn't worth it. Like, Bill got that analysis right. If you want to let Butler go to the Jets and screw up the Jets, and, a bad character and a bad franchise, they'll screw him up and that'll be a disaster. And like, that all's fine. I don't mind Malcolm Butler going to the Jets. There's still no excuse for not playing him in that game.
No, separate issue. Totally separate issue.
That's right.
My only question would be, when you say he got it right, does Butler have the same year if he got his money?
I don't know.
I mean, did Bill just misread the guy? Did Bill look at him and, you know, again, leverage someone who didn't want to be leveraged and get pissed off?
Hard to know.
So that's the only variable. Like, I think it's a good move for the Jets. I mean, sure. In fact, whoever gets him, take a shot. Don't do anything crazy with the contract. Like, you know, you're not going to give him some ridiculous deal. But take a shot. I think the guy can play.
Yeah, so, but that part wouldn't outrage me. Butler to the Jets, good luck with that. You know, I don't know. Maybe Butler's not the player I thought he was. But it doesn't change the Super Bowl. Like, that's a whole different thing.
At the end of the day, and I said this to you in the email chain this morning, what I come away from this whole thing, whether it's the Malcolm Butler situation or Marcus Peters and the fact that they don't have a fourth and a fifth to maybe even make a deal at this stage, or the issues going on with Gronk, I cannot remember another time in Belichick's tenure where I have had less confidence in the operation than I do right now.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger, any chance Gronk does some WWE after his career?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Come
really?
On now.
Can he be?
I don't know, I can't speak for him.
Can he be WrestleMania Royal Rumble champion?
I don't know, it takes a lot to go into that, but Robbie G's the man, and I don't put anything past him.
Right.
Look, his career speaks for itself.
Hey, guys, you remember that off-season video up in Montana of Brady working out with Amendola and Edelman?
Yeah.
Gronkowski couldn't make it because he was playing Hulk Hogan. His first three preseason games he didn't play. One catch for 9 yards in the fourth game.
So what?
Then, after he got two catches for 33 yards in the first game, watch Brady's post-game interview where he talks about the attitude in the locker room. He's implying that there's a dedication problem after game one. Watch that video. Tell me they're not talking about Gronk, or he's not talking about Gronk.
He's not. How could he possibly be talking about Gronk? If he's talking about anyone, he's talking about the defense. And maybe at the end of the day, we realize it wasn't just an attitude problem. Maybe they just stunk because they didn't have the personnel. But if you want to say Gronkowski's not in Brady's boys club, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think it's Edelman and Amendola. Like, that's the Brady crew, the Brady boys club. And Gronk has his own boys club. And if you want to tell me that Brady and Gronk aren't warm or anything, like, fine. I guess they're not. Whatever. I don't think it matters. To me, it doesn't matter at all. I think what matters is that I think there's ego clashes going on down there and people carving out their territory. And I think the Gronkowskis are in there. And I say the Gronkowskis, not just Rob, because it's about his family. And they've always been in his ear about what he makes and how he's treated. And Maz raised something earlier that has been percolating behind the scenes in the last couple of years. But Brady got his own institute. Brady got his own land deal. And when I say land deal, his own lease deal there at Patriot Place for the TB12, and he's in business with the Crafts on TB12 and whatnot. Do you think Brady's the only player that wanted to start something like that?
No, my understanding was, and you know, this has been out there a while, I don't know that we've ever really talked about it, but that Gronk wanted to do something down there, whether it's like a, you know, Planet Gronk or Gronk Gym or whatever, and was denied.
Or didn't get the same deal or whatever.
Right, right.
That Gronkowski is not afforded the same privileges that Brady is. And again, we went back to the Guerrero thing. Gronkowski became a Guerrero guy this year. And this year was really important for Rob to stay on the field because he got game incentives, playing time incentives on his contract. And then Bill kicks Guerrero off the team. So that hurts Brady and Gronkowski. But again, the latest reporting, I thought, was that Guerrero was allowed back into the building in a small room outside of the locker room where he could see Brady, but only Brady. At which point, if you're Gronkowski or the family, you say, well, we're Guerrero too. Why do we have to schlep in the golf cart to the other side of Patriot Place? And it seems like a small thing, but I think that this is sort of what you deal with in any place, but especially on teams.
Yeah, to me, it comes back to, again, giving Brady power down there greater than the coach. And at least, again, that's how it will be perceived. If that Brady starts getting support that even it supersedes or exceeds what Belichick is getting, that's going to cause problems like this.
Play the current sound again, Jimmy, unless you guys are talking to each other. Do you have something over there?
Well, I was wondering, like, you talk about this little room. Didn't they put, in Tom versus Time, didn't they put Brady and Alex Guerrero in, like, a luxury suite that was empty? Isn't that his space, which is a little inconvenient, too?
I don't remember that.
Me neither.
I remember him giving a pretty good rub down there, you know, in Montana and other places.
Gasper's brought this up to me before, and he feels like this is one of the overlooked things with this series. And I know what Jimmy's talking about now. I think it's in the last episode. It's not a luxury suite, Jimmy. It's the room. It's this little corner room that they've given him. And Chris thinks that that's a shot, like that they purposely put that scene in that series to see, like, look, this is where they've put us here to have Tom worked on by Guerrero. Like, they purposely showed the room as, like, an FU to Bill.
Right, because it's not a nice room?
Yeah, it's just like it's a little corner room. You know, it's not what he's usually used to.
Okay, so Brady's pissed that he has to go to this little room. Gronkowski, could he be pissed that he was given a little room and where's my little room? Like, all these little petty things. I don't know. You just, this happens everywhere. And you wonder if it's sort of catching up to the Patriots internally. Because, again, here's Curran's report.
It does defy explanation to a degree until you start kicking over some rocks and talking to some people and trying to get, you know, your fingers on the pulse of it. And I've done that quite a bit. And he didn't enjoy himself in 2017. He did not have a good time, despite the fact his body was in a better situation than it's been in a long time, ever maybe, despite the fact that he is one of the most dominant players at any skill position. Starting to wear on him, physically, mentally. The atmosphere here in New England.
Just to clarify really quick, so when you say in 2017, so a lot of people look at that, the concussion that he suffered in the AFC Championship, and said maybe that's what scared him. Was this going on before that?
Yes.
Okay.
This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it. At that point, his body wasn't responding. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't necessarily want him to train the way he wanted to train. They were at loggerheads. And he was, you know, he was pissed. And the season played out. And by the end of it, I don't think that some of the principal players on this team were really happy with the atmosphere and the climate. All the stuff that we've reported about, all the stuff we've talked about, they still need to have a hell of an air clearing at Patriot Place to get these guys back.
Again, that's just so rich with material there. I mean, you know, Casey Smith is like, well, the concussions, are they adding up? Tom's not talking about the concussions. It's starting to wear on him. Not the injuries, and that's not what he was referring. Maybe that's another thing, but what's starting to wear on him? The atmosphere here in New England. That's what's starting to wear on Rob Gronkowski.
The day-to-day existence down there. That's what's... Oh, boy.
Chris in Florida. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, looks like Gronkowski's starting to set himself up for the XFL. Looks like he might end up being the face of it. Do a year or two in the WWE out there doing, not necessarily wrestling, but, you know, putting his face out there, and then becoming the man in the XFL.
Becoming whatever. I think there's definitely a tie-in. Definitely. Sarge says, commissioner, whatever. Make him a coach? Just make him a character. Like, that's what McMahon does. He builds characters, and I don't know if XFL is going to be real or fake. I don't care. Whatever. He's still going to build personality, and you make Gronkowski, in whatever his role is, as a chief personality. It's a natural tie-in. It's a no-brainer. And of course, I think there's a tie-in there. I think there's any doubt about it. Bob in Marlboro. Bob, what do you got? Hello, Bob.
Bob in Marlboro. The only thing behind the Patriots is Bill. Bill started the whole thing with the Super Bowl. The whole thing.
Bob, I disagree. I think all these things predate the Butler decision. This is what I think makes Kern's points here so meaningful. Is that's not just a bunch of players pissed off by a coaching decision. If that were the case, that's sort of cut and dry.
Well, and the other thing is, it's not the only time he's made a bad decision. He's made other bad decisions, you know, kicking off to the Jets, the mortar kick against the Eagles. There's all kinds of stuff, and they didn't have the reaction that they did this time.
And I think that, again, I think what the Super Bowl decision does is it opens up the cracks, because that's what happens. Winning's a great deodorant, but when you don't win... Now, it stinks, to play off Gasper's analogy. And the stuff that happened in 09 snowballed. It all started after 4th and 2. After 4th and 2, Adelius Thomas comes out and says, go ask Bill, he's got all the answers. And that sort of Bill and that team losing opened up for all the latent issues that were down there. And so that's what the Butler thing does. It's not a cause. The Butler thing is not a cause, I don't think. Again, Gronkowski was considering retiring last year. And not because of the concussions and not because of the injury, because of the atmosphere here in New England. But I'll tell you what. I'm still with Bill on this. Like, yes, that's the atmosphere here in New England, guys. It's hard. It's hard. You don't get the same freedoms you get elsewhere. You don't get the same considerations you do elsewhere. You are a cog, no matter how important. You don't make as much. You don't get as much freedom. That's the deal.
Right. So the question is, though, but they've always known that.
Yes.
So the question is, what triggered it?
Are guys like Brady Gronkowski getting too big for their britches?
I go back to the quarterback first. To me, it starts at the quarterback. Once you open the door there, then Gronk wants to go in. Like, to me, it starts with the quarterback. Once the quarterback gets to a certain point where he starts getting more power than the coach, then, you know, now you're going to have problems.
They've just done such a great job of subjugating their egos and accepting the Patriot way and accepting their place in it and, you know, all that stuff. They've done such a great job for almost two decades. But is it impossible to do for, is it just impossible to keep it together for that long? And is it just starting to show where guys are finally, and including Brady, you know, finally at the end saying, you know, what's in it for me?
Of course. Yes, inevitably. I mean, that's going to happen because people start to get more and more confident, more and more accomplished. And look, what story was it again? Was Bedard the one to first write that they were calling Guerrero Yoko down there? Like, you know, there is some sort of ultimate trigger that separates the you know, the glue.
But Dart did write in training camp that Gronkowski didn't look right. And he said, like, he didn't have the same joie de vivre. Remember when he wrote that?
Yeah.
But Dart had two things that people dumped all over him for, but have proven right. One was Malcolm Butler, and where's his head at? He could tell early on in camp that he didn't look the same, and didn't feel the same. And the other was Gronkowski. And it was something stupid. It was like he didn't even spike it with the same verve. Or, you know, he made a play and he didn't even really...
He wasn't doing Gronk things.
He wasn't doing Gronk things. And Bedard just noticed this in a training camp practice. And, of course, all the beat guys down there, bleh, you wouldn't know. You haven't been down here. And Jeff Howe and those, bleh, where have you been? And Bedard was proven absolutely right on both of them. Just FYI. No commercials. Quick update from Murray and we're right back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.